Hi everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, event number 206. This is the new live charting format. And so we have a great lineup for today. And so we're going to do we're 6 hours today. We have six presenters lined up for you to take a look at any charts you want to. And we're going to start out with Dan Passarelli. And just a reminder, of course, this is for educational purposes only. Trading is not suitable for all people, and please consult a financial advisor and only trade with money you can afford to lose. All of these sessions are being recorded individually, and they will be available on timingresearch.com, the Timing Research Substack, the Timing Research YouTube, and of course, all the podcast networks. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Dan Passarelli of markettakermentoring.com.
Hey folks, welcome, welcome. And David, thanks again so much for having me. I love doing stuff like this, and I love being able to share some of the things that I've been working on, some of the things that I'm looking at, some of the ways that I'm looking at them, and provide any value that I can for your folks. So here's what I'm thinking that we're going to do. I'm going to go through some of what I'm looking at in the markets. And David mentioned to, if you have a stock that you want to look at, throw it in the chat. And holy cow, you guys are on top of it this morning. I love it. So I'm going to be looking at those as well. Now I pulled this stock up here. Just kind of a coincidence. I didn't change my screen. I usually like to start with SPY. Just to give some context, but hey, it's here. So let's take a look. So this is a stock called Amphastar Pharmaceuticals. And this is one that has been pretty interesting. It's been a really great opportunity. Obviously, you know, just looking at it in hindsight, obviously it's been a great opportunity just to plain old get long it, right? But we've also intermittently had some great opportunities, including and especially right now, to sell some puts that are overpriced. When you sell puts, you can potentially get a double benefit if you're smart about it. The double benefit is you get the directional component, a positive delta when you sell puts, but you also get a vega component by selling overpriced options, by selling options that the implied volatility is inflated. So you're basically selling them for more than what they're worth, which of course has many benefits. One, including for those of you who are option folks, you probably realize it increases the theta when you sell overpriced options, and it just helps in so many ways. There are, of course, trade-offs to selling puts. One of those is that you have limited profit potential. When you see a day like you have today here, where it's up about $2.50 already, no, $3.35 already, holy cow. From yesterday's close anyway, you know, you leave some money on the table. But then when you get some days like here, you know, like, well, I should say weeks like here, where it's kind of back and forth and they're more normal, smaller days, especially when like this, where it just steadily climbs, selling puts can really be a huge outperformer. And it can be a way to get you into the stock, you know, like if you were here and you sold the 55 puts, you might have been able to get assigned, which of course would have had some really great benefits too. So, okay, like I said, I just wanted to give attention to that one because it was the gorilla in the room. Okay, so let me just start by looking at spiders overall here. So narrative is really what people have been trading. And there's no other way to trade this market than narrative. Narrative trumps reality, though we have to pay attention to reality to put the narrative in context. And for a long time, we were worried about, and we're still worried a little bit, that raising interest rates would ultimately put us in a situation where we'd end up in a recession. And it seemed very inevitable to many analysts, like JP Morgan, for example, for a period of time. Excuse me, sorry about that. So it seemed pretty inevitable that there would be a recession to some analysts. Again, not everyone. Goldman Sachs, of course, was pretty non-bearish throughout this whole thing and not as worried about recession as JP Morgan was. But it looks like what might end up being accomplished is what a lot of people referred to as the immaculate inflation. This just sort of, the Fed gets it exactly right. And we end up, you know, raising interest rates just enough to avoid inflation and or to lower inflation and avoid a recession. And by and large, it's looking better that way. Goldman Sachs came out this morning, one of their main analysts, and said that people should not worry about the inverted yield curve, because in this case, what's going on, they think that it will be one of the rare times where it is not a predictor of a recession. So that's going to be interesting. Now, me personally, I look at this fundamental information every day, but I take it with a grain of salt, because it's easy to be wrong. Behavioral economics teaches us that. We approach the market with our own personal biases, which does nothing but clouds our judgment and our vision. And so the best thing that any trader can do is to trade the numbers. And sometimes those numbers are converted into lines or indicators or moving averages or something like that. So the spiders have been interesting. We had a great breakout. And let's expand this out to 3 years just to get a little bit of context. When we look at it in 1 year, it kind of looks like, it kind of looks like we're at all-time highs, but we're not. You know, we've got all-time highs back here. And we're approaching a strong resistance level, a very strong resistance. Now, to be clear, these are weekly candles. So these time periods, you know, like this period where we lived above this resistance level, you know, was a couple of months, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, about 3 months, right? But, you know, from this chart's time frame context, it's still a pretty short period of time. Now, what is resistance? Resistance is where the sellers have been known to be, right? Why do stocks go down? Because there's more sellers than buyers at that price, right? And so this is where the sellers were at this point. Sellers let them get above this area. And then once it was, you know, once we headed back below there, the sellers came in again. Here, will the sellers come in again here? That remains to be seen. But more often than not, support and resistance hold. So we're gonna heed that a little bit. Now, could we look at some credit spreads as a result of it? And my simple answer for that is, of course we can. We love looking at credit spread. So we could very easily look at a credit spread in SPY selling. Well, I mean, the resistance level really is about 4. I'll be generous and call it 455. I'd rather err on selling the short call strike at a higher price than a lower price. So I'm okay selling those 455 calls potentially. But one of the issues is that we are in earnings season, and we're going to talk a lot about earnings season. I'm going to put most of my focus on earnings season, because that is the thing that I'm known for, is trading earnings. And we're just about to really kick it off hard. Next week is the big, big week this quarter for earnings. And the next couple of weeks after that are really big. We've got some trickling out now. We're officially in earnings season, but it's still, you know, in like a lamb, and next week is the lion. So we can pull up some options here. Look about 3 days out, which should put us to Friday. The 21st is Friday. And we can actually sell some pretty good premium at the 455 level. Now, one of the problems with that is the implied volatility is dirt cheap. Now, I bring up earnings because earnings has the potential to to move the broad market, the tail wagging the dog, to move the S&P 500. Now, again, that said, there's not a lot of major earnings coming out this week, so I wouldn't expect a great movement from there. So one of the first things we need to do is, besides just looking at where the resistance level is, we need to get back on our daily candles. And I like to look at a 6-month period and look at where the historical volatility is. Now, the historical volatility, I have a personalized script that we developed here for Thinkorswim that gives me a much more accurate volatility reading. The implied, or the historical volatility is 9.4%. So at this point, even selling at a 10.37%, it does give us a little bit of an edge. So I actually kind of like this trade. I'm going to put this on small to remind myself that I like it and maybe put on more later. And wasn't necessarily planning on trading live or anything today here, but when you see a good trade, you make it. So I'm just going to pop in a 5 lot, and I can very easily add to that when we're done here. Put it in mid market and we wait. All right. And I always, I keep my watch lists up here. And when I put in a negative delta trade, like you call a credit spread, I look at the price of these spiders. I don't even have to look at the chart. I see that the price is going down, which means the call credit spread is somewhat getting away from me. Now the price is going up and, I'm within pennies of getting filled. Let's hear that magical sound here. Well, we'll wait. I'd rather sell at a better price than... Okay, so that being said, we can look at some other credit spreads. Now, there was a credit spread here in Target. And one of the institutions sold the July 28th. So that expires next Friday. So we're looking at like a 11-day trade there. They sold the July 28th 135 calls, which is solidly right at resistance. I mean, that's a beautiful trade. That is just a beautiful, beautiful. This institution sold 495 of those, and they in turn bought the 140. Now, this is earnings season. So when we're looking at individual stocks, what is the most important thing we need to do? You guessed it. I'm going to show you a little trick here. There are many services that'll tell us when earnings are. You can see that on just the Thinkorswim screen. Okay, hold on. We're going to guess here. What? So look at this. This is an interesting thing. The natural bid was 41 cents. Let's go back. I've got a 41 cent offer in. The natural bid, well, right now it's 40 cents. It was, let's just get it done. What's a penny among friends? Okay. Let's go back to Target. What's one of the first things we need to do during earnings season? We need to look, see when earnings is. So we can definitely do that by, in Thinkorswim, we can go to, calendar, and we can just look at earnings and we can see what's coming out. And okay, there's 36 of them coming out today. We only want to look at the ones after the market. And this is a list of them, but there will be times when they get it wrong. Thinkorswim has very good data. That's one of the reasons why I use them. But there will be times when they say, oh, this stock has earnings today, but they actually... Who is the definitive source for when a company announces their earnings? That company, right? So we just simply do this. We go TGT, Investor Relations, Events and Presentations. Because what we really care about, we say we care about earnings, but what we really care about is the conference call. So that is Wednesday, August 16th. Now, I suspected that it was going to be in August because most retail companies, which Target is, they announce in what is known as retail earnings season, which is about a month after regular earnings. So as long as we're putting on a trade that expires before August 16th, we're able to trade it and not have to worry about any added earnings risk. So the historical volatility is down around very, very, very low. And good morning, folks. Somebody just joined us. Linkied 17. All right. Well, welcome. Welcome, everyone. So we're going to look at these that expire Friday. Next Friday was the trade. The ones that expire next Friday, somebody sold the 135-140 call spread. So I just like to filter it so that I'm not taking up that much real estate on my screen. So selling these 135 calls, we can sell them right now at 84, can buy these at 22. The prices of the original trade were 85 cents and 22 cents. So I kind of like this trade. Play and follow the leader is a pretty tried and true strategy. So this trade was originally done at 63 cents. Being too greedy on this just seems a little silly. So I'm going to send it. I'm going to put it in at the same price. The pros traded it and boom, Done. All right. So there are two trade ideas that are unrelated to earnings. I am going to share some earnings trades with you because this is earnings season, and earnings is one of the main things that we do here at Market Taker. And as a matter of fact, David, is it okay if you're listening? Is it okay to give out an ebook? I think it is.
Oh, yeah. Link, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I wanted to see, what's that?
Is it the one associated with the thing you're doing this afternoon?
This is
yet a different one.
Yeah, this is even a different one. So if anyone wants, you can go to, and I'm going to put this in chat then, I guess. I have an ebook on trading earnings that I'd like to share with you. And it's, you know, I wrote it, so I think it's really good. I think it is. You can just go to markettaker.com/DAN, Dan, that's me. And it's an ebook on that introduces you to our system of trading earnings. And like David was just referencing, we're going to have a free online training this afternoon that you're all going to be invited to. And I think David put up a link earlier, and I'm going to put up one later in the presentation. So make sure you stay till the end. Now when trading earnings, there's a few key principles. Okay. Principle number one is no one can predict the direction on earnings. So, when I was, my background, I don't know if there was a bio post or anything, but my background is I was a professional trader on the floor of the Chicago Board Options Exchange. I traded down in the pits, made the funny hand signals in the funny colored jackets. And, that's my background. Now, you know, back at that time, at the height of my trading career, I was in the top five traders in our firm. And my risk manager would, I was doing well, and my risk manager would let me basically trade anything I wanted with me, as much as I wanted, except I was never allowed to carry a position going into earnings because he knew and he had the rule that no one can predict the direction on earnings. So you've got to be as close to what we would just call flat, right? And so I'd never really traded earnings before, but you know, people are always asking me, and I'm going to tell this story in the online training later this afternoon after the timing research presentations are over. But long story short, I discovered a way to actually trade earnings that doesn't rely on market direction. Now, it's a little bit tricky, and I'm going to arm you with enough information to be dangerous here, okay? Like, I've got a whole class that explains this whole thing, so I want to give you some information right now, but just realize that we don't have time for me to explain exactly everything, but I want to help get you started. One of the things that I do is time spreads. And the reason why I said, we don't have enough information is because the last thing I want you to do is go out and trade a time spread on every earnings trade. That would be dangerous. You've got to follow very, very specific criteria. And, one of those has to do with liquidity. We want to trade very, very liquid stocks. Oops, let's take that down. We want to trade very, very liquid stocks because the options bid-ask spreads really need to be tight. So I'm just pulling up my trade journal here. We'll take that down here so that it's not clogging up our screen. And one of the trades that I want to analyze here is WAL, Western Alliance Bank Corp. We're going to get rid of the strike price thing, and we're just going to look at the closer to the money strikes here. And these do have reasonably tight markets, which is cool. That means that this could potentially be a go. Another measure is looking at open interest and volume. And, there's some there. It's definitely not like SPY or Apple, but there's enough to trade there. Now, full disclosure, for a slew of reasons, I only make these trades in the last hour of the day. And I do that because it's an overnight trade. I put it on the last hour of the day, and I do that specifically because the trades that I end up doing are negative gamma trades, which means if the stock moves in either direction today before earnings is announced, you know, I could make or lose money just sort of randomly. Like I want to isolate just the earnings event trade. If I put it on too early, I'm adding risk with less reward. Because usually I can sell it for the most close to the end of the day. And then I take it off tomorrow morning. So WAL is one that I'm going to be looking at this afternoon for a potential time spread candidate. If it meets all of our criteria, you guys had a little glimpse of my trade journal. There's like a lot of information there. So I think it'd kind of distract us if I pulled it back up. But IBRK is another one that I plan on looking at today. Whoops, no, IBKR, I'm sorry, IBKR, and we're going to look at some time spreads today in the last hour of the day as well. And this one, the bid-ask spreads are a little wide. I have a rule, you know, with trading, we always have to have rules because that prevents us from just making decisions with our guts, right? We never want to do that. So my rule for liquidity is the offer needs to be no more than 10% greater than the bid. So, you know, here are these 85 calls. It's 215. 10% of 215 is 21 and a half cents. Is the offer more than 21 and a half cents above 215? Well, let's see. That would put us at about 236, right? So, no, we're good. It's within. It's less than 10% higher than the bid. But this one here, 10% of 50 is 5 cents. Oh, it's just changed. This was 50 cent bid. So now we're in compliance, but a second ago we weren't. So you kind of have to be careful. This one here, 10% of 40 is 4 cents. Is 55 more than 44 cents? Yes, it is. So it's sort of out of compliance. So we might end up skipping. Well, we're going to end up skipping interactive orders. But one more that I'm going to look at is JBHT. And that one appears to be in compliance from a liquidity standpoint. So yeah, the two I'll analyze today, and I'm just going to put those on my list, WAL and JBHT. There were a few others that showed up on the, you know, on the calendar here, but I can tell you just by looking at these, none of them are going to fit, are going to be within compliance for my liquidity test. And the before market tomorrow ones, which are also relevant, there'll probably be a couple there. Ally will look, will do the liquidity test. And you guys now have enough information to do the liquidity test yourself too. Goldman, of course, Halliburton, of course. So yeah, I mean, there's a good chance that I could analyze a good solid five trades today, and then I'll cherry pick and take only the best ones and maybe put on two. And you know, for those of you who do choose to attend my training later this afternoon, you know, you'll see, like you can get anywhere between 20 and 50% overnight on these. And by and large, most of your trades are winners. The losers, you know, you just have to manage, and they can be a small fraction of what you stand to win. Okay. So let's look at some of the trades that you wanted me to organize. So 296810, your parents must have been very into math with that name, AMZN. Let's take a look at Amazon. So this, full disclosure, is a stock that I own in my IRA. It's one that I trade covered calls on. It's a very good covered call stock if you, you know, if you actively manage and roll it. And me, I like being long the stock and being short the calls. I want to say I'm short the 135 calls. I know they expire this week, and I was just looking at it before we got on the call here. Come on. My other platform's running slow. That's what happens when we have two platforms going at the same time. Oh, okay. The 137 call. Yeah. So I'm short the 137 call and long the stock. From an investment standpoint, I really just like that. From a trading standpoint, you know, we're in an uptrend. We have higher highs and higher lows. That's the definition of an uptrend. So in these situations, I look at every dip here as building a base, giving a new level of support. Here's a new level of support. This looks as if it may form a new level of support as long as we fill this gap here, which this was 131.26. This was 131.35. So we're 9 cents away from filling the gap. I will probably end up doing that today. But the base that we have now is here. So if we can sell, like, I would say a put credit spread, unless you're looking for a way to get into the stock. If this is just a short-term trade, then we do put credit spreads. If you want to end up buying the stock, selling the cash secured 127 puts will give you premium and give you the opportunity to get assigned and accept assignment and get into that stock and then start doing covered calls. So breaking this out a bit, if we go 10 days out, we can sell the 127.5 or 127 puts and buy the 125 puts. Now, full disclosure, Amazon is a little weird right now, 296810. Amazon is a little weird because last I looked, and I looked on Friday, I have not looked since Friday, but Amazon has not officially announced when their earnings are. Now, you might find projections on Thinkorswim or earnings dot whatever it is, but if you go to the investor relations page of Amazon, the last I looked on Friday, they had yet to officially announce when their earnings are. So that ends up being a little bit of a weird scenario where, you know, the implied volatility is ambiguous as to when earnings are. Strange. So that said, I kind of prefer to be a little bit conservative in putting on any trades in Amazon until we have visibility when earnings are going to be. I guess we can check that out, the events. Yeah, no upcoming events. It's pretty strange, really. Pretty strange. So, yeah, I'm a little reluctant to start putting on positions in Amazon because I don't know when earnings are. I mean, I would do one that expires this week, so I don't think they're going to give that short of a time frame. But we really can't get enough premium selling 127, which is the highest support level available. So I don't know. Just because of the earnings problem, 296810, I don't feel comfortable making a trade in Amazon that I don't. Now, 296810. Also wanted to look at SQ. So let's look at that. So SQ is an interesting one here. Wait, SQ or QS? SQ, okay. QS, bring that one up for a second, is kind of in a bit of a short squeeze right now. It's another thing that I do is I screen for short squeezes, and this one lighten up my scanner today. But back to the original question, SQ, which is block, formerly Square. So they've been on a bit of a tear lately. They're a potential short squeeze stock as well, actually. The thing about Block is that there was a short squeeze company, and I forget who it was, Hindenburg, but one of the short squeeze hedge funds came out with a report on SQ saying that it was fraudulent, that they, in their opinion, allegedly, are fraudulent and have a bunch of criminal activity or accounts or some weird thing. Google it. You know, but for a while and here we can bring this up here too. I'm showing you all my tricks today here, guys. their short interest as a percent of float right now is only 3.98%. That was much, much higher. As you can see here, it dropped by 5.43%. They update this about once every 2 or 3 weeks, I want to say. And that's how much it dropped since the last update. So that was, you know, it was above 9% 3 weeks ago. And before that, it was up even higher. So it looks like that ended up being a true, true short squeeze. And it looks like they shook out a lot of the shorts. That'll really have, like, a lot of these short squeeze candidates are, very low price stocks. And so, like, you know, it's less money being played with when we're talking about a $60 stock or something like that. Those short traders really need to cover. Okay. Telephone, AT&T. This is one that, full disclosure, I do have in my IRA that I like for the dividend yield. The dividend yield on this is 0.278 times four, presuming they don't cut the dividend because the stock is low. They pay out at this point, the best information we have to go on is they're paying out $1.11 a year. So we divide that by 1380. You know, that's an 8% dividend. As long as they don't cut the dividend, I like it. Now, the tricky thing about AT&T is that the options are just really, really cheap. The only thing you can really do is trade the at-the-money options. Otherwise, I mean, commissions end up eating up a big enough percentage of it. So, I mean, you know, we would want to go and look when earnings are, and they ought to be pretty imminent based on the gap between when their dividend was released and when earnings were last released. But I mean, if you're looking to actually get into the stock, it kind of doesn't really matter that much. So, I mean, one thing that is a possible trade here is to sell like the 13 and a half 10 day options. And I think earnings will come out before then. And, you know, the stock might go up a lot and you only make 32 cents, or it might go down a lot and you'll end up buying the stock at an effective price of 13.5 minus 32 is $13.18. And then you just hold that and you're getting over 8% yield again, as long as they don't cut the dividend. And then when it goes up a little bit, you know, if you can sell like 14 and a half, 15 calls for anything above 30 cents, you know, you really got a sweet trade on. And that's basically how I handle. ODFL, what is that? Old Dominion Freight Line. So this is one. So look, I find that trading options usually gives you better risk reward than trading the underlying. It is a bit of a difference between chess and checkers, and you know, chess isn't for everyone. But I like the chess game, and I find that using a little bit more strategy has potential to make you more profitable. So I'm an options person, and when the options markets are this wide, I don't even trade it. I won't even look at it. So the other couple you wanted to look at is EXTR. they're more liquid. Yeah, these aren't so bad stock. It's been on fire though. Wow, up 90% in 3 months. It does look like it's hitting a bit of a resistance level, which is logical, right? I mean, no matter what the company is valued at, I mean, almost 100% in 3 months, you're going to want to sell some of what you had on, right? Honestly, I'm not that familiar with this company besides what I just looked at. So I wouldn't be doing anybody a big service, a trade idea, without having a bit more of an understanding of what this company is. And but me pulling up the chart here gives people a head start to explore on their own. CLFD is another one that I'm not familiar with, and the options are not liquid enough, so I wouldn't trade this one either. I mean, the only one, I mean, AT&T, yes, trade that, gave you a trade idea there. EXTR, I'm going to look at later. That's the best I can give you. Boyle, liquid enough. This is the So what Boyle is, by the way, it's a natural gas. Okay, so this is one. This is a natural gas ETF by Bloomberg. And the underlying is largely natural gas futures, as I understand it, two times scenario. So we look at a chart of this, and we're going to have a manual. Look at that area. So a lot of times, companies that, or ETFs that invest in futures, and those of you who are volatility traders who trade like VXX are aware of this, or you better be aware of this, they tend to suffer from a contango decay because natural gas needs to be stored somewhere. And so if somebody holds tanks of natural gas for a year, they have to pay, you know, rent on it, insurance on it, interest on the money that they're tied up in holding that. And so further out futures have a lower price. And so when an ETF invests in futures, you know, they hold like the 30-day ones, but then they have to roll out, you know, once those 30-day ones become 5-day ones or whatever charter says, they have to roll out to the next 30-day one, which is normally going to be a lower price. So there's a normal decay to ETFs like this. So that said, any trade that you would consider making in here, you've got somewhat of an edge leaning towards a downside. You don't want to get in the way of, you know, a massive move to the upside or anything like that. But this is one of those ETFs where what the smart money does is they look for ways, you know, they look and pick their spots to take bearish positions, because over time in the long run, it goes low. In fact, I suspect that if we take this out to 3 years, this is when, so let's see here, this is 2022. We've got this sort of bubble, which was a result of the Ukraine invasion. And then things kind of come back to normal and get back down to where they would be. And as you can see right now, it's significantly lower than it was 3 years ago. And that's because of contango decay. Whew! All right. You guys are awesome. Did everyone, by the way, as far as earnings go, look, the biggest service that I can do for you this morning is to help you get prepared for earnings season. Next week is the biggest week in earnings season that we're going to have this quarter, followed by the week after and followed by the week after. And then we're going to get into retail earnings trading. If you can get the earnings trading system down by next week, which is easy to do, it's a little bit involved, but I've got, go get my ebook. And again, David posted that as a hyperlink. So you can just simply click that link, get the ebook on trading earnings. And then I also want you, thanks again, David. I want you to try and attend my presentation this afternoon, which is after all the presentations that David's got in store for you today. We've got lots and lots of great stuff to learn from many different people. So stick with it, persevere, and afterwards try and attend my presentation. And there is the link. David posted that. So you got two links to click, them both. And, all right, let's see what else we got here. We got Massey. Holy crap. Massimo's in trouble. This is not a company that I follow. So in these situations, when I'm alerted to a stock like this, I hear the news. I see that today their price target was lowered massively. Apparently, if it's just downgrades or what? Oh, Massimo's sales forecast. Looks like their sales forecasts and lower guidance led to some downgrades. So that's just sort of an ugly little thing there. check out the options. This is terrible for trading options. Guaranteed to lose money trading options. The markets are just too wide. There's practically zero open interest. There's some volume today because probably a lot of retail traders who don't know better than to look at the bid-ask spreads and the open interest piled into some trades here. And it's going to be really hard for them to make money. I feel sorry for them not knowing better, look at the bid-ask spread. Because, I mean, look, even if you pay 60 cents on these, I mean, the delta is 10 cents. The stock has to rally $3 just to break even, you know? And that's assuming you're even able to trade mid-market and not just buy the offer. So yeah, it's just massively, massively against you. So I don't know. I mean, in situations like this, the only thing that I would consider looking at in this is I would consider going and looking at their financial statements, if you're someone who can read financial statements, and take a look at what intrinsically the value of those shares should be. And you know, that's a skill most people don't have. It takes some time. I mean, I would have to drill down and spend about at least a good hour looking at it, which we don't have time for. But you know, in the event that you know, you could ascertain, hey, no, you know, this company, it's worth 120 or something, then the only thing that I would do when options are this massively wide is sell puts with the hopes of getting a sign. You know, never planning to buy them back or price later, because the odds are just so massively against you that you'll be able to do that with these wide markets. But, you know, if I thought that I would like to own the stock, you know, here, I would consider selling the 115 puts at 255. And, you know, if I get assigned, I end up effectively buying those at 112.45. So I get a discount on them. And if the stock goes up and I don't get assigned, then, I get to keep $255. I can roll it out to the next month. In fact, you know, and again, this is not a trade idea. I never looked at this stock before. Who told this? Angel Hernandez Rocks. All right. Before Angel posted this, I had not looked at the stock. So this is not a recommendation, but I'm saying it could be one to look at. In fact, I'm writing it down on my list. Look at the fund. If you're good with fundamentals, look at the fundamentals, see what you think the company's worth. If the company isn't making any money, and you know, we can do a cursory MA and we can just look at PE ratio. Oh my goodness, it's a massively high PE ratio. Holy cow, that's I mean they do make money. So yeah, this could be one to look into. Not at a PE ratio of 72, I don't think, but yeah. All right, David, what time do you prefer I go to? Should I look at a couple more trades for the folks, or
yeah, you have a few more minutes if you have some more.
Okay. Didn't know how much time in between you wanted. But yeah, let's talk about maybe just a couple of more trades. So the earnings trades again is going to be what I focus. That being said, we should look at the ones that come out tomorrow, BMO, before the market opens. Excuse me. And this is another one to put on your list for those of you who attend my training today. And oh yeah, David put that link in. Oh, what platform am I using? I mean, this is Thinkorswim, but you know, there are other platforms. I actually have accounts with a few different brokerage firms that serve different purposes. So Ally is Ally's markets are no, it's not available in Europe. And for people in Europe, I always recommend Interactive Brokers. I mean, their customer service is well, I mean, it's terrible. And I think they'll acknowledge that. So I don't think I'm being mean here. But they do have a very, very good platform. Just don't ask anybody questions. So Ally is not going to make my list. Goldman Sachs, of course, put that on your list. That is one that after the training tonight, you're going to want to have on your list to look at. Although the training comes out after the close. Halliburton. And Halliburton is very tight liquid markets. We've got, it's a nice setup for a time spread. And then what else? Probably US Bank Corp. So these are going to be the ones that I'm going to be analyzing today. What does that end up being? A total of about six, I want to say. And I'll triage it and I'll cherry pick and take only the best ones. So if I have six to analyze, yeah, I'd be pretty happy if I have two great trades. And then those are the only ones that I'll make is the one model out great. Okay. Do you have any final questions before we turn it back over? I'm not familiar with multi-charts, so I don't have an opinion on those guys. Sorry, Diego. Do you have any final questions for me before we turn it over to the next folks? And you've got some really, really great presentation. I saw the list of people who are talking today on this program. And there's some really, really great folks. I know many of them personally, and you should listen to all the great things that are in store for you today. That being said, as long as you got my ebook and as long as you're registered for tonight, I think you're good to go. And I'll see those of you who are interested in making money trading earnings this season. I'll see you later this afternoon.